The Blaze Radio Network. On demand.
Lex, were you ever moody as a teenager? Were you ever reclusive?
I'm still moody and reclusive. That's right. The natural state of man.
Right, that's part of it, right? And as a parent, do you have kids?
I have kids, and if they get happy, I get nervous.
You're like, wait a minute, you're up to something. Yeah. If you're ticked off at me, you don't like me, I know something good's happening.
Yeah, they tell you, you know, the only thing you got to be worried about is when your kids are quiet. That's the only thing you got to worry about. When they're yelling and screaming, that's good. You know it's healthy. You know it's healthy. I come from a large family. Yelling and screaming is the norm.
Why are we trying to take all of this away? We're trying to regulate. Ironically, these very emotional people are trying to regulate away any natural feelings, anger, frustration, those things, failure. Those are all good things if you apply it right.
Yeah, and I think it's a parent's role to make those decisions for their kids. We don't allow our kids to play video games. I tell my kids, you want to play video games? Go to your friend's house and play violent video games. That's the place to do it.
Right. Well, I don't want that at our house.
Yeah,
go
so
over their house.
Go to the house. You want to go see a dirty movie? You go to your friend's house.
Right. That's the tip, or Lex, that's part of the game you play here. As a parent, you know, and as a kid, maybe I kind of knew this too, but as a parent, you know, kids are going to do certain things. And you can't control everything they do. They are going to do some things you don't like, maybe even some illegal, certainly some immoral things. You set a bar, you don't accept it. You try to clean up and help them clean up messes, but you look the other way on some of this stuff, knowing, you know, choosing your battles, I guess you'd say.
Right, and if you remember, if you recall from your own childhood way back when, the best lessons you learn are when you make huge mistakes. You make a mistake, you learn from it, you get punished, you suffer consequences, and then you don't do it again. And if you take that consequence away and the whole punishment and the learning lesson, you never learn. You keep repeating your same mistakes.
You know, you had a great line with the remasculating the millennial male as part of the title of your book, because I see that as one of the biggest fallouts. First of all, men are under constant attack anyways. But the millennial male, I look at some of the millennials that are male around our office here, and they are really emasculated. That's the best way to describe it. I mean, they so don't want to be that, but they don't know how not to be.
I try not to blame the guys for being the snowflakes that they are.
No, I don't blame them at all. I feel bad for them.
It's the way they were raised. I said, if you're coaching to throw a ball at your head, you've already lost half the battle. It's not just, I mean, they're really, these kids grew up, and I know because I know the age of these kids now, they grew up really without any sort of, older man. You know, just give him a good whack every now and then. It could be a verbal whack, a physical whack, whatever, on the backside, or just a coach with a bat, making sure you wore your cup to practice that day.
my dad, although a very smart guy, almost, Renaissance type man, he'd art and all this different stuff, very smart. He also had one part Red Foreman from that 70s show where he was like, dumbass.
Yeah.
Right?
Yes. Someone tell you that there's parts of you that stink, you know, part of you that isn't great, part of you needs work. You know, our parents are afraid to tell their kids they need to work on things now. And these kids grew up thinking everything's perfect, and they get to the real world, you know, they get into their 20s, and their boss tells them, hey, you didn't do a good job. And they look at them like, what do you mean I didn't do a good job? That's not possible.
I look at some of the ones, and I can think of a couple in particular where I'll go through the office, and I'll make a comment like, and it's just joking around. I'll make a comment about my wife being a bad driver because she's Asian. I'll make a joke like that. And there's this uncomfortable laughter. Like they think it's funny. They're like, oh my gosh, but I don't know. Am I allowed to laugh at this? And then there's this little twinkle in their eye, Lex, almost like the Doctor a Strange movie. Teach me. Set me free. But
In half a second, they could be lighting candles and marching around your office and protest. You got to be careful.
Right.
Those kids, they love to protest. Half the time, they don't believe what they're protesting, but they love to protest.
You're right about that. They don't know why they're so pissed off, but they're pissed.
Yeah, check their Facebook accounts. They're probably talking about you. They're calling you a caveman, and they complain about horrible bosses.
Right. Now I see a lot of the younger males though. They so want it. In fact, I had an opportunity to kind of teach seminar about broadcasting and whatever to some high school students just a couple of months ago. Some ones that are 16, 17, 18, and I started talking about political correctness. I got kind of down this rabbit hole about, you know, some of the challenges they face. And when I mentioned political correctness, I saw them all kind of lean in and they're, huh? And I was like, okay, here it comes. Here comes the rebuking. So I just went full bore and I speechified for about a minute and a half on how wrong it was. And they cheered. They said, really? They're like, yes.
They want to be free.
But it's the next generation, Lex. It's the ones after the millennials. And it's not the millennials' fault. They want out. They just don't know how. This generation, the pendulum is swinging back hard. They're like, the hell with this.
I think so. I mean, one thing you can't deny is nature. And, you know, there is a male gender, believe it or not. And you can't, it has, you know, evolution takes eons and eons to change. It doesn't happen in 10 years, 20 years. So the same instinct, you know, you and I were raised with, the boys have today, too. And, you know, culture can only stop so much, and ballot initiatives in Colorado can only stop so much. You can only stop human nature so much, and it's coming. It's coming.
So give me some of the 99 rules for remasculating the millennial male. Give me some things you suggest, some solutions to the problems.
Really, honestly, I mean, this is not about everyone goes, oh, you want men to be like they're cavemen. No, not cavemen. These men like 20 years ago, you know, as radical as that sounds. And I think a lot of it is about, you know, just being guys being independent again, wanting to be strong and independent. And chivalrous as well. That's gone by the wayside as well. You know, like, I'll tell you what men do a lot today. They cry a lot. Men cry a lot today. They cry at TV shows. They cry at movies. They cry. They share. They share their photos on social media and talk about crying. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a, you know, I say a man's allowed to cry when his child is born. Mm-hmm. Or when something hits him in the nuts.
Okay. That's it, huh?
That's the only time it works, you know. And also things women used to talk about, men talk about now. I mean, you know, it's like the weather. Men have a fear of the weather. Like it's going to rain. They have to discuss what's going to happen if it rains. It's been raining for 10 million years. What are you going to do anything different than your ancestors did when it rained? You get your head out of the rain, dumbass.
Right. What's going to happen, right?
Yes. And also, you guys were talking last week, I know, about bromances.
Yeah.
About men who have bromances. Men these days have trouble distinguishing between their male friends and their girlfriends.
Mm-hmm.
If you notice the millennial males. They do things with their guy friends they used to do with their girlfriends. And I don't mean sexually. But I mean, they don't know like what events or what venues or what things to do with guys versus girls.
Like, let's go buy a pair of pants. Lex, I got to go down to Kmart and buy some pants today.
Yeah, let's go shopping together.
Wait, what?
When do men go shopping together?
Mm-hmm.
Men are hunters. You only share hunting with another man when you need to trap something. You don't need to trap a pair of sneakers. Go. How do these jeans look on me? I heard a guy say that to another guy recently. I'm like, are you kidding me? I'm not looking at your butt.
Even with the invitation.
Yes, exactly. My wife. Now you've asked my permission, so I don't have to file assault charges.
A couple years ago, my wife says to me something about, she goes, hey, what happened to so-and-so? I heard his wife was in the hospital or whatever. I go, oh, she's doing okay. And she goes, well, like, give me the details. And I go, I just told you she's okay. She goes, well, she goes, didn't you talk about it? I said, yeah. I asked how she was, and he said, she's okay. And I was like, what more do you want from me? I'm like, this is how guys, like Lex, you and I are friends. We go out, and you go, oh, man, I heard about you. You're going through the divorce. You know, how you doing? And I go, ah, it sucks, man. You know, effing bitch, or this happened, and I'm not going to see my kids. And you go, wow, that sucks. And then we order a beer, and we talk about the new X-Men movie.
Yes, right.
That's how you gotta go, Lex. That's horrible, man. That sucks. And we get on with it. That's it.
Yes, and I don't know if you've noticed this. You go out with some of these younger guys now, and you go out for a beer or for a meal, and they ask you what you're having before they decide what to order. Like, what are you guys having? You know what they're we know what they're having. They're having your lady. That's what they're having. indecisive male that can't order food for his mouth unless he knows what his friends are ordering first.
Well, I was thinking, is it okay if I order the white Zin? I don't know what he's going to say.
Are you going to have the grilled cheese? Because I don't know. I get gas.
That's a really good. So it's not the caveman you want. It's the modern caveman 20 years ago.
It's just your, I call, we went from the greatest generation, the snowflake generation. People say that. I always say, think about your grandfather.
Mm-hmm.
Be like your grandfather. He was not, the whole idea. I think the reason we're emasculating males so much and there's such an attack on men is because, you know, there's some male traits that need to modernize over the last 60, 70 years. For sure there were. You know, times have changed. There's some modernization need to occur. but they've completely thrown the baby out with the bathwater. It's like, to get rid of some of these, all, you know, a few male traits, let's get rid of all male traits. If men don't exist, then we don't have to worry about the bad traits, you know, some of the bad traits of men. And so everyone just sort of, men, just, you know, you guys just sort of accepted this fact that we're going to have a unisex, and we're not going to be guys anymore. We're going to be just genderless because our, you know, our ancestors did some things that guys shouldn't, you know, that were rude or crass or did, you know, snap towels on each other in the locker room. That used to stop. So they got rid of all the good stuff, which is chivalry and hard work and ambition and dedication and taking care of your, even taking care of your family, which we all agree is, and your children is all a great thing. But that's a lot of that good stuff has fallen by the wayside now that men are no longer expected to be like men.
Are you worried about your mom or dad living alone in their house? Hi, I'm Joan London. Listen, I know how difficult it is to find senior care for someone you love. That's why I recommend a free service called A Place for Mom. They are the nation's largest senior living referral service. Call A Place for Mom today.
To receive free information on senior living communities in your area, call A Place for Mom at 1-800-803-6951.